Please be seated if you can. Young Johnny and his family were invited to have Easter Sunday lunch at their grandmother's house. Everyone was seated around the table and the food was being served. And when Johnny got his plate, he started to eat right away. "Johnny, where are your manners?" his father said. "You know we have to wait until we say grace." "No, I don't," the five-year-old replied. "Of course you do, Johnny," his mother insisted a little more sternly. "You know we always say a prayer before eating at our house." "That's our house," Johnny explained to his mother. "But this is Grandma's house, and she knows how to cook." It's a good thing to laugh on Easter Sunday. The church actually has a long history of it, where either the day after or the Sunday after Easter is known as Riscus Pascalus, God's joke, the Easter laugh. And as part of that service, the priest will deliberately tell jokes and stories as part of the sermon, and then later, people will go home and start telling their own stories and start playing practical jokes on each other. It was all part of celebrating Easter as God having the last laugh over evil and death. And for the longest time this week, I thought that that would be the direction I'd go for this yearly Easter sermon, which we all know is supposed to be, but never is, the Super Bowl of all sermons, since I won't see some of you again until Christmas. But something just didn't feel right about that. I couldn't figure out why. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I have absolutely no patience for priests who take themselves and what they do too seriously. And anybody who knows me knows that I believe that church is supposed to be fun and filled with laughter and celebration, especially on Easter. But there was still something nagging me about taking that direction today. And it wasn't until late in the week where I realized what that thing was. And it's one simple sentence from today's gospel. "So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy." Have you ever noticed that? Fear and great joy. That's how those who witnessed the resurrection responded. That's how those who witnessed the resurrection felt on that first Easter Sunday. Fear and great joy. And it occurred to me that that place of fear and joy is also so often our own Easter reality. Don't we live our lives tinged by both fear and joy? Fear of what might happen to our children or our grandchildren in this dangerous world. But such joy at the blessing they are to us and the time we have with them. Fear of what an economy might mean to our livelihoods, but joy for all that we already have. Fear about the fate of a loved one struggling with an illness, but joy in the gift that that person is to us. Fear about the craziness of this world, but joy in the present moments we have surrounded by those we love. Afraid so often of what could happen, but thankful for what is. It seems we try so hard to make Easter about taking away all our fears, that we miss the point that resurrection lives really aren't that way. You see, Easter's not supposed to merely be about taking away our fear of all things, any more than it was for those at that tomb on that first Easter Sunday morning. Instead, it's about somehow enabling and empowering us to live as people of the resurrection, as people of hope, amidst all the things there are to fear. Some might call that faith. Some might call that courage. But whatever you call it, isn't that what Easter is supposed to be all about? Because Easter's never been about lingering around at an empty tomb. Instead, it's about stepping out into a dangerous and glorious world and living our lives differently than the rest of the world, living our lives more fully and with more purpose than we did the day before. And for me, it's always been less important what happens on this day. It's so much more important is what happens tomorrow. Now, I don't know what or who brought you here this morning, but I do believe it has something to do with hope. Because Easter is either everything or it's nothing. Today, it's either a doomed attempt to overcome suffering and death with lilies and drums and trumpets and a death can on the last verse, or it's a peek through a keyhole. A keyhole into a world completely changed by Jesus. A world of lasting and sustaining hope and purpose. And hope is not about proving anything. It's about choosing to believe this one thing, that love is bigger than any of the grim, bleak stuff that life can throw at us. So yeah, it's Easter. Go ahead and laugh. A laughter that comes from a deep place of surprise and utter joy. There is plenty in this world to fear, but the good news of God in Christ is that we are anchored in the promise that God will have the last word. Go ahead and laugh. A laughter that cannot be contained and that is so infectious and so irresistible that it bursts out of a tomb and floods the whole world. It won't take away all our fears, though sometimes we wish desperately that it would. But Easter laughter is the comfort we bring to a hurting world and to each other, realizing that Jesus can transform anything he touches. It's the sound the church makes when, despite all that happens around us, we realize that we are ultimately called to be people of the resurrection, which means to be different than all that we fear. So laugh. Laugh out loud, because Easter laughter knows both hardship and sudden and unexpected joy. Living our lives in tune with the laughter of God and telling a greater story and imagining a bigger and better world. Fear and joy and despair and hope and doubt and faith, those are always going to be the two sides of our lives in this world. But the fearsome and joyous news of this day still has the capacity to create and transform life. It's the fearsome and joyous news of this day that gives us the audacity to proclaim that there is no darkness that the light of Christ cannot transform. There is no brokenness that cannot be mended. There is no sin that cannot be redeemed. There is no mistake that cannot be forgiven. And there is no one beyond a love that is unconditional, and that not even death has the final word. And if such absurd grace doesn't leave you laughing in awe and wonder, then I don't know what will. God love you. Happy Easter. And as I always like to say, if I don't see you before then, I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. Amen.